Hi, thank you all for coming back after the lunch break. My name is Allison Bressler, and I'm doing research on the impact of shrub willow, which is a bioenergy crop, as a potential feedstock. And we're looking at its impact on water quality and greenhouse gas emissions at the field scale. I want to acknowledge my advisors, Philippe Budon and Tim Volk, for all of their help on this project, and to our Extension Service Specialist, Justin Hebe, who helped us communicate with all the farmers, and Obed Varghese, our undergraduate intern, who is currently in the lab running samples for me. So as we all know, conventional tilled and fertilized crops produce a lot of nitrate and phosphate that end up in our lakes and cause serious eutrophication, which causes human health impacts, deters recreational use of waters, and of course decreases biodiversity. So what we're looking at today in the session is greenhouse gas emissions, and I'm looking at CO2, N2O, and methane. I know past presentations have just been looking at N2O, but we're looking at all of these processes going on in the soil in the shrub willow fields, and we're looking at soil moisture, soil temperature, carbon and nitrogen availability, and how these are impacting these processes and these rates of reaction. So we're looking at shrub willow, which is pictured here. This crop was planted 3 years ago, and it's coppiced after the first year and then allowed to regrow for 3 years before harvesting. So this particular batch is about 10 feet high, and it had been growing for about 2 years. So it's very fast growing. And we're looking at it as an alternative to conventional crops in the Northeast, because the Northeast has a lot of poorly drained cropland that does not produce major crops like corn and soybeans very well. So we're looking at this as an alternative for the farmers for economic benefit and to improve water quality and reduce greenhouse gas emissions. But before we recommend that we plant this on a mass scale in the Northeast, we want to do a study on the implications that it's going to have on the environment, which is what we're doing here. So our objectives are to investigate the impact of shrub willow on these factors relative to corn. So the past land use in these field sites was corn that's used for tillage. It's very low quality, and it's tilled and fertilized. And then we're looking at the trade-offs between these two crop types. So here's our study location. It's in the Thousand Islands region in New York, which is primarily rural. And we've got three different willow fields. We have two fields of the same age, one of which was fertilized due to poor production in the first year. And then the other willow field is in its fifth and sixth year. And I want to note that all of these willow plots are fertilized initially to get it started, and then are usually not fertilized again. And they grow for an average of 25 years and can be harvested up to 7 times. So we're in the Kent's Creek watershed of Lake Ontario, so we have lots of implications for human health with drinking water and for recreational use of this Great Lake. So the reason that we're growing commercial shrub willow in this region is because the USDA has identified shrub willow as an ideal biomass crop in this region, opposed to things like switchgrass, which don't grow particularly well in these poor drained lake sediments. And BCAP, which is the Biomass Crop Assistance Program, funds the farmers for the first 3 years of production so that they can get it off the ground and to encourage more production. And our end user is the Re-Energy Power Plant at Fort Drum, which is a very large military base in upstate New York. And they run 100% off of biofuels, so there is a large need for this crop to be grown. Our field sites have three clusters of instruments in each field. So we have a total of 9 static chambers. So we use the static chamber method for collecting greenhouse gases. We collected gases after events of hydrologic importance, such as snowmelt and storm events, and we also collected seasonally. And along with that, we collected soil pore water and measured well depth. So this top chart indicates whether or not we were able to collect water from the soil pore. So wet indicates that we were able to collect water, and dry indicates that we were not able to collect water. There was an unusual drought situation in this region this past summer, and we were essentially unable to collect water samples during that time period. So we see here that soil moisture and soil temperature do not vary significantly between the two crops, but despite this lack of significance in the data, we did notice that in the cornfields there was muddy conditions and more wetland-like conditions further into the season than willow, which behaves more like a water-stressed crop due to its high root density and perennial nature. And we see that temperature, as expected, fluctuates with the season, peaking in July. I will also note that these temperatures in the summer were above the averages for this region, and that soil moisture decreased significantly during this period of high temperatures and low precipitation. So we see soil moisture increasing after the fall storm events and during snowmelt. So here's our results for water quality. So we see that nitrate is consistently higher in the corn than in the willow, as expected, since the corn is fertilized annually and the willow is not. And we see low levels of nitrate consistently, but we did find a few outliers where we had high rates of ammonium emissions in the willow fields, which was interesting. And we also saw higher levels of phosphate in willow, which is consistent with past studies that have shown that while willow tends to be pretty good at reducing nitrate, it is not successful at reducing phosphate, which has implications for water quality. But we did see that it reduced over the season as the plant growth continued. So we have our nitrous oxide fluxes from the soil-atmosphere interface. We did not calculate for the whole field due to the high spatial heterogeneity that we found, but looked specifically at events of hydrologic importance. So we were specifically looking at snowmelt, which occurred in late April, and a storm event that occurred in June, where we saw very high fluxes of nitrous oxide in the cornfields, and we saw almost no change in the willow, indicating that willow is significantly reducing nitrous oxide emissions across the board, regardless of the hydrologic status of the system. So that's great. So we also looked at CO2 flux, and we see that emissions are consistently elevated in the willow compared to corn, except during snowmelt, when we saw higher emissions in the corn. And we see that generally, as expected, CO2 emissions fluctuate with temperature. So we see methane emissions fluctuating significantly in both corn and willow. And we don't see willow effectively reducing methane emissions after hot moments in particular. But it's generally we had low methane emissions in most of the field sites. So we converted the gas fluxes to CO2 equivalents, and again found that these hot moments are producing most of the greenhouse gas emissions in these field sites over the course of the year. But something interesting that we found that we now need to incorporate into the carbon budgets for these systems is that willow is producing more CO2 equivalent gases during dry periods than conventional crops are. So it may be that willow is behaving like some other upland forest systems that we've seen, where they're actually emitting more CO2 than conventional agriculture, which has implications for climate change. So if we look at nitrate and nitrous oxide fluxes together, we see that while not always correlated, we do see a positive correlation between nitrate and nitrous oxide emissions being consistently higher in corn than in willow. So this indicates that at least from a nitrogen cycling perspective, if not from a phosphorus perspective, that willow is beneficial for water quality by reducing this limiting nutrient in the runoff. And we don't see any implications of nitrogen management for methane or carbon dioxide flux. And again, when we convert it to CO2 equivalents, we don't see any correlations, but we again note that most of the correlations we saw were related to hot moments after storm events. So this is a conceptual diagram looking at both of our sites, and we again see that in snowmelt, corn is producing significantly higher greenhouse gas emissions across the board, and that willow is generally low in nitrous oxide all the time, but CO2 emissions are spiking during dry periods, which is unexpected. So in conclusion, we see that greenhouse gas emissions spike after storm events in all control and test sites, but less so with nitrous oxide, which we did not see higher emissions of during events of hydrologic importance. And past carbon budgets that our university has put together for willow have indicated that willow is a carbon neutral biofuel, but it seems that since we haven't incorporated this emissions data yet, that it perhaps might not be, or it might be slightly emitting carbon. So the next step for this project is to take this data, to take the carbon, a CO2 equivalent data, and to apply it to these models that we've developed for these willow fields. So based on all of the data and observations that we've collected, from an environmental standpoint, particularly from a nitrogen cycling standpoint, willow is an ideal perennial biomass crop in the Northeast to replace conventional crops that are being grown in poorly drained soils due to the fact that the willow seems to be managing storm events by evapotranspiring the moisture very quickly. And willow has potential to effectively replace corn, with the added benefit of providing a source of alternative energy, which can do things like replace coal in this converted power plant that we're currently using. Do we have time for questions?
Yep, you're in good shape.
All right. Yeah.
Do we have any questions for our speaker this afternoon?
Mm-hmm.
You mentioned water quantity. So what were the water balances between the two crops?
Oh, yeah. So, okay. So yeah, so in this diagram, I should have talked about this more. So we see that the well and the soil moisture increased in the corn more quickly after it started raining again in the fall. And I unfortunately don't have the November data on here, but when we went out in November, the corn field was completely saturated while the willow fields were still not saturated. So the willow is very effective at taking wetland-like conditions and turning it into dry conditions very rapidly.
So you would expect it to reduce the amount of overland flow or shallow surface?
Yes. We saw very minimal erosion in the willow fields while we saw excessive erosion in the cornfield during storm events. So it's definitely effective. So from that perspective, when we're looking at phosphorus, even though there is higher bioavailable phosphorus in the willow system, it's not leaving the system. So, yeah. Mm-hmm. The corn was tilled.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah. Is there any? Yeah. Okay.
Maybe time for one more quick question.
Thank you.